And now, come closer. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Like a branch that sprouts from a stump, someone from David's family will someday be king. The Spirit of the Lord will be with him to give him understanding, wisdom, and insight. He will be powerful, and he will know and honor the Lord. His greatest joy will be to obey the Lord. This king won't judge by appearances or listen to rumors. The poor and the needy will be treated with fairness and with justice. His word will be law everywhere in the land, and evil will be put to death. Honesty and fairness will be his royal robes. Leopards will lie down with young goats, and wolves will rest with lambs. Calves and lions will eat together and be cared for by little children. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Summer 1914, the start of the Great War. The same war, now known as World War I, the children refer to in their pageant this morning, where everyone on both sides thinks they'll be home for Christmas. But they're not. In fact, they're lined up on either side only 150 yards away from each other, all dug in for the long haul of winter. Machine guns are firing all around them. Bombs are exploding and mustard gas is being sprayed. The men are sitting in waterlogged, barbed wire-lined trenches, permeated with insects and rodents in Flanders Fields, Belgium. And they're cold, they're sick, they're weary, and they are so far away from the people they love the most. But it's December the 24th. And the German soldiers have received gifts of small trees and candles, which they've placed on top of their gun walls, making little Christmas trees lit up by candlelight. And in this moment, they begin to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. And while the British and French soldiers didn't understand the German words, they knew the tune. And they joined in the singing, as we saw the children doing. And by Christmas morning, that 150 yards of no man's land saw men from both sides coming out of their trenches to share chocolates and treats they had received from home. And they shared the pictures they were carrying with them of their families and loved ones. Then they buried each other's dead and sang hymns and played games of soccer together. And this truce lasted 1 week until New Year's Day, when both the British and the German officers ordered their troops to resume fighting. But how do you kill a man who has a family that you've seen the faces of in the pictures he showed you? How do you load your gun and aim it at the people you know the names of, who gave you chocolate, who celebrated Christmas with you? Well, you don't. And they didn't. And even when they were threatened with courts martial and punishment, they still didn't fight. They couldn't. The only solution was mass transfers of entire units. British units were moved miles down the line, and German units were moved miles up the line so they could resume fighting the people who were now strangers just 150 yards from them. Wow. There's something about Christmas time, isn't there? The whole season is devoted to finding, bringing, and celebrating peace, hope, love, and joy, and it creates a different feeling in us. It even suspends a war zone. How does it do that? What happens that battlegrounds can become playgrounds at Christmas? What happens at Christmas time that wolves lie down with lambs and calves and lions eat together and lives are cared for? What happens that little children, who in Jesus' day were not considered worthy of attention or importance because they were not yet adults with skill and knowledge, get Jesus' attention anyway? What happens is we somehow open our hearts and our lives and our very beings to the heavenly peace that resides within us, that is beautifully reborn in us at Christmas. It comes alive once again within us and permeates our souls from life in the trenches so we can do life a little bit differently. So we can bring the gifts of joy and hope and peace and love all wrapped up into little packages of smiles to a stranger, of patience for others while standing in line at the store, or of buying toys for children we don't even know just so they can have a good Christmas morning. Something happens in us at Christmas time, something wonderful and amazing and life-giving. Because a child has been born to us, a holy child has been given, and the joy of our Lord shines all around, and we start focusing on giving, not receiving. And we suspend our questions and assessments of why someone might be in the situation we're in, and we offer them help and hope anyway, full of our love, because it's Christmas. Because we're trying to create a sense of peace for someone else in this world and for ourselves. Because someone from David's family became king and he treated the poor and the needy with fairness and justice. And it was no longer a matter of who is important and who is not. And it was no longer a matter of who is on this side and who is not, just 150 yards away. And it was no longer lepers can't be touched, and Samaritans can't be spoken to, and tax collectors can't eat at the table, and children can't be blessed by Jesus. Instead, wolves were lying down with lambs, and there was a vision of a peaceable kingdom. The kingdom Edward Hicks depicted in his famous paintings titled The Peaceable Kingdom, where wolves and lambs and calves and lions and all sorts of predators and prey come together with little children in peace. And did you know there are well over 100 versions of this painting? Because Edward Hicks was so filled with creating a vision of peace that he painted these scenes over and over and over again so we could catch that vision and create it in our lives too, so that heavenly peace could be born in us too. But that's hard. It's hard to have peace when we've got so many battles going on in our lives. It's hard to make peace when we don't feel at peace. It's hard to bring peace where peace isn't even wanted. But then, like a branch that sprouts from a stump, something comes forth in us, and we lay down our weapons because we don't need them anymore. And we find that gift of peace that has been given to us, the gift of the Christ child, the Prince of Peace. The gift of something so meek and so mild, yet so much bigger than us, that it lights up the darkness like stars in the sky to help us see again, to see some calm and bright shining in our hearts, to give us a glimmer of hope, to give us a vision of heavenly peace. Where do you need some peace in your life right now? And where is God sprouting peace for you? Because what has been born into this world has been born in us. And what has been born in us will never be snuffed out. It will stay alive. And it will keep shining like the stars at night, even if we can't see them, even if we forget to look for them. They're still there. That heavenly light is still shining. And that light is keeping watch over us by night so we can find our way, so we can light the way for someone else, so we can know the battles we're facing won't last forever. They can't. Even if someone is ordering us to aim and fire, we don't have to go down that road. We don't have to go there. Because even when December 26th comes, it doesn't mean the spirit of the season is over. It means it has just been born. It means love and peace and hope and joy are ready to sprout anew within us, to sustain us and to grow within us. So let peace come. Let it come. Let it come into a silent night. Let it come into the chaos and into the fighting. Let it come like a child who doesn't know any better than to just bring their peace, than to just bring who they are as they are. Let Christ come into our hearts and our lives and our worlds this Christmas and stay. Stay longer than a day. Stay longer than a week. Because Christ is here to stay with us for good. Amen.